Okay. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to introduce Rabbi Travis, renowned Rosh HaKollel, author, speaker, and we've got books here as evidence. He's Rosh HaKollel of Kollel Toras Chaim, focuses on training on English-speaking Poskim. And he's going to speak for about 20, 25 minutes.
Until
there's no food. And followed by questions, if any, and then we can all go home. Over to you, Rabbi.
Okay. It's a big honor to be here. It's my last stop in Australia. I've been here for 6 days, spoken many, many times. And the best, they always say, the best is for last, right? So I have an organization. It's called Stop Suffering. And I'm trying to end world suffering. And I'll just give you a short brief of like how I got into such a project. About 32 years ago, my daughter was born, and I was crossing the street to buy a kiddush, and the guy thought he was in Australia, in Yerushalayim, was driving in the left lane. He wanted to save a couple of minutes because that lane was open, and he realized he was about to collide with a bus, right? And, you know, car, bus, so the bus wins, right, usually. So instead of colliding with the bus, he made a quick left turn. I was standing there. He threw me about 3 meters in the air. I landed head first on concrete, and there was a watermelon truck coming in the other direction. The tires that were hitting my body. I was pronounced dead on the spot, you know, but doctors sometimes mistake. It's like they made a mistake. And they rushed me to the hospital, Ein Kerem, and they said, "You have nothing to worry about. You're in the best hospital in Israel." That's when I really got worried. And they pronounced me. They said, "Your husband is going to die, or maybe he'll be a vegetable." Anyway, they did a CAT scan, and lo and behold, they found the brain. The brain was there. And not only that, but it was intact, no problem at all. The doctor said, "I don't believe in God, I don't know what to do, but Tzarki and Gadol." Right? Someone told me they saw him at the Chabad meeting the other day. But true or not true, that was really an impetus for me, and it was really a big impetus. I went, after I got better, I went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and I said, "I feel like I had an ace, I have to change my life." He said, "Yeah, you got to change your life." "So what you do?" He said, "Do anything, and Hashem will help you, will guide you." That was his bracha. And in fact, that year we had tremendous number of difficulties. I had meningitis and pneumonia. I was in Rio de Janeiro visiting my in-laws, and I got mugged over there. Like, it didn't seem a week went by without some major, major difficulty. And it really got me thinking, you know, we're going to say here after we eat Birkas Hamazon, and we say, "V'heitiv, v'meitiv, v'yeitiv lanu." Hashem is infinitely kind and infinitely wise. Why does he bring such difficult situations to us? Do we have any suggestions? If God is infinitely good, why? Any comments, questions? Anyone? Okay. What do you say? It's what?
Growing opportunity.
Oh, that's a good answer. I have a friend in Hanov. He calls them OFGs, right? Opportunity for growth, right? And that's definitely true. It's definitely true. But, you know, I was once at a Purim Suda, and I have a cousin. He's Mashkiach in the Mir in Brockville. He said, "Rabbi Travis, I mention you in my prayer every day." Every day. I said, "Wow, like, well, that's really nice." What do you say? He said, "God, if you want me to do something, let it be more gentle." Right? So couldn't we grow with the bagels and lox, you know, in a nice office here in downtown, you know? What do you get run over by a car by? That's really like very, okay. But it's good. It's definitely good. And I'm going to tell you a couple of things, and I'm going to give you some food for thought, you know? And Bezrat Hashem, I hope it'll make an impact. One thing I saw in the Zohar, a beautiful, beautiful idea, and I always mocked in this idea with a story. My wife and I are on different sleeping schedules. She goes to sleep very late, I go to sleep early. And one time was the middle, it was 12 o'clock midnight between, you know, our sleeping times. And she wakes me up and she says, "I need some medicine from the pharmacy." And I told her, "I'm sleeping." And she said to me, "I need medicine from the pharmacy." So I waited up. Medicine, sleeping, I better go. You know, everyone who's married knows what I'm talking about. You know, so I got dressed, I went to the pharmacy, I bought it, I came back, she said, "Ah, now I see that you love me," she said. And you know what? The Zohar says the same thing about difficulties. It's a Zohar, Hakhtamas HaZohar 8b on Chesam and Beis. It says there, why does Hashem bring difficulty? Because he wants Rechima Shlema. He wants true, complete love. Complete love. You know, there's something in English called a fair-weather friend. You know, they have in Australia fair-weather friends, right? Like when it's good, they're with you. And when it's bad, you know, goodbye. Or that's that. So we really have an opportunity to show complete love to Hashem through these difficult nisyonos, right? And we accept them. In fact, There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which I teach poskim, that's what I do. I try to train rabbanim, and that's how I got here to Australia. I have many talmidim here. And I say, there's a lot of important halachas in Shulchan Aruch, but for me, the most important halacha, it's in Siman Reish Lamed, Siv Hei, in Aruch Chaim. The halacha is, if something bad happens, what do you do? Anybody know?
Make a bracha.
What do you say? What? Oh, very good. What do you say? Make a bracha. Right? If it's really bad, you make dynamis, right? By the way, there's a halacha you bring when you make a good wine, a second good wine comes out, you make a tova meitiv. One of the Rishonim, the Baal Yitzchak, says, what if a bad wine comes out? He says, make dynamis. You know, like, I remember when I was in yeshiva, they had this like cheap wine. It was so disgusting. We used to draw lots. Who has to make kiddush? Whoever loses makes kiddush. You know, so you make a baruch dynamis. But the halacha is, Rei Shlam today, and you're all right. It says, when a person should be margul himself to say, Kol ma David Rachman HaTovah, everything, right? Everything is good. And I remember one time I was in Manhattan, and it was snowing. We Israelis, and I used to snow. I heard in Australia, it doesn't snow so much either. And I slipped on the ice. I remember my ankle was like this wide. And they took me to a very nice hospital in the middle of Harlem, 114th Street, St. Luke's Hospital. And as they wheeled me in, I was smiling. You know, I was in excruciating pain. I was smiling. They said, why are you smiling? I said, because I know it's for the best. They said, take this guy to the mental institution. It's the wrong hospital, you know. But that's the truth is. The truth is that when we say, or we're supposed to say when something bad happens, kol ma david ma, it excludes nothing. Everything is good, right? Now, I said this last night, I gave a share, and it always someone's going, well, there's something bad, you know, the Holocaust, October 7th. Well, look, there certainly are things that we don't understand, but we know in the greater cosmic picture, right, Mr. Werger just said Moshiach is coming, you know, and, you know, Iran certainly seems to be speeding that up. But the point is that we know in the greater picture of things that everything is good. Now, on this card here, which I give out, I'll give some out now, you can take it. I'll sign up for, it's a 3-minute a week class, which we spend 20 hours preparing. And I have a little diamond here with scratches on, turning scratches into etching. So this is based on a mushal I heard from a Roshiva, Rosi Kuchleski. Do you know that name, Rosi Kuchleski? I made his shidduch, you know, and just had a baby at 88. He's the fifth oldest father in the history of mankind. They don't count Tanakh. But he told me the following mushal, yeah, that there was once a king who had a beautiful, beautiful diamond worth billions of dollars. And it was his treasure possession. One day he invited his Enoch looking, you know, and they had their, you know, toy hammer, and bang, they got a scratch on it. Okay, I can't scratch a diamond. Kash on a Maisa. A Maisa, the diamond got scratched. And the king was devastated. He couldn't believe it. My precious diamond scratched. For weeks he was crying. It was like Tisha B'Av. And one day an artisan is passing through the kingdom, and he heard the story. He said, give me a few hours with a diamond. He comes in with his tools, and he takes his tools and he makes an etching, and it's mountains and rivers and valleys and streams and trees. It looks beautiful. The diamond looked 10 times more beautiful after. And that's the idea, turning scratches into etching. All of these difficult situations we have in our life, it might be, you know, breaking your ankle or getting run over by a car, or you know, I got mugged on the beaches of Brazil, whatever, firemen, judges, all these things. They're all, like you said, opportunities for growth. We come close to Hashem, we become more sensitive people. And the trick to something also, which I learned this from Lei Imenu, I feel like a very close kesher with Lei Imenu. Whenever I can go to Hebron to daven by her kever, I try to go there, right? Because the Gemara says that before Lei Imenu, no one thanked Hashem. She was the first one, yeah? Now, you all have Jewish mothers, right? I'm assuming you're here, right? So, like, what? Your mother didn't teach you to say thank you? How many people's mother? Your mother taught you to say thank you, right? That's like being, okay, there's some countries where they don't stress it so much, you know? Somebody told me when he got to Israel, if my children are not rude, I'm happy, you know? Okay, but look, you know, man, okay, there is such a thing as Todah Rabbah. It does exist. And so why Leah? So, you know, we know the Medrash says that all the Imos were barren. They couldn't have children, right? So what's Leah? She's right away having children. The pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah v'yitechas Rabba." Yaakov didn't love Leah's mazdrok. You don't understand, you know? Imagine you work 7 years to get married to a woman, and then, you know, even the night, he didn't know. He woke up in the morning, v'nei Leah. Wow, what a surprise! You know, Lavan comes in. He says, "Like, excuse me, like, didn't I marry Rachel? You know, like, excuse me." And so Lavan, you know, Lavan was like, he wore a frock. He had a, like on a strimal, you know. He said, I'm sorry, that's not the minhag. You know, you don't, like, this is basic halacha, like Yaakov, this is Yaakov, you know, you don't know. Moshe came in Mekamenu. I'll let you marry Rachel, but you need another 7 years. Okay, that was like, okay. He was the first, major economist. So the point is that, but Leah, okay. So Leah, so why was he the first one to thank Hashem? So the shot which I would like to offer is that she had a new innovation. Why did she have children? The pasuk says, "Biyarshem kisnor Levin Rachma." She got children because she suffered. Leah thanked Hashem the fact that her husband didn't love her as much. Yeah, "Biyarshem kisnor Levin Yiftikas Rachma." She thanked Hashem for the difficulties that she had in life, right? And that was her innovation, right? And the truth is, I want to tell you, if you do this, your life will change so much, right? My Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Brev Zatzal, he said, everybody has four types of problems. Arba Avos Nazikin. Either Parnassa, health, kids, or Shalom Bayis. Yeah? One of them, right? And I want to tell you a story. I film a shir every day at the Kosel. I'm up to like 1,500. I daven every day in eight at the Kosel. You want to come one day, we have a beautiful minyan inside the wall, tunnels of the Kosel, right opposite the Kodesh Kedoshim, right? The floor is made of onyx. It's $1,000 an inch, the floor is. And there's lighting in gold. You feel like you're walking in the base of English. In any event, so I film a shir there every day, and it goes on during time and YouTube. One time I was filming, and there's a lot of people in Israel who don't like computers so much. They stand at the intersection and scream, you know, whoever has an iPhone is going to go to hell. You know, these type of things, you know, okay. But I didn't ask them about their personal life. But the point is that one of these guys happened to be that morning at the coast, so it was not a good day for me to be there with my computer filming my shir. And I happened to be filming a shir about how not to get upset with people. It was 3 days before Purim. And on Purim, you know, sometimes people do things that annoy us. You know, what's it called? Somebody came into our house once and broke all the windows. You know, but the halacha is you're not really supposed to get upset with people. Minor damage, you're exempt for. Anyway, so I'm sitting there 5-10 minutes giving this shiur, filming it. Like, I felt really good, you know, telling people not to get upset on Purim. Suddenly this guy comes up to me, one of these zealots, and he screams, "Marshein, tamei!" This is an impure computer, right? Now, I had a filter on. I don't use internet. You know, it wasn't. I didn't put in the mikvah. You know, by the way, I'm going to Lawrence on Thursday, and I'm going to be staying by someone who has ksav rishon, for dvus rishon of Noam Elimelech. And he said, when he printed the first Noam Elimelech, they put the whole, you know this? They put the whole printing press in the mikvah. Yeah, so it was such a holy sefer. He has a sefer there, right? I didn't put my computer in the mikvah. It usually doesn't work so well afterwards. But makshev tamei, you know, maybe negoyim, I don't know, tzras, too much neither, I don't know what. But he really was upset. And he wanted to express himself, you know, because a zealot is not enough just in words, actions. At the end of my shir, he took the computer and he smashed it on the ground like that. Okay, so I was thinking to myself, look, I just gave a 10-minute shir about not getting upset. This is obviously an assoyan, right? So what are you supposed to do when someone takes your computer like this one? There's a new one I have over here. And he takes it and throws it on the ground. I'm just wondering, like, where's the talk about Shulchan Aruch and about this, you know? So, I don't know, it was Siyat HaShemayah. I decided, you know what, I'm going to give the guy a bracha. So I said, you should have all four things. Parnassa, you should have health, your children, and Shalom Bayis, you really need it, because whoever's married to you, I feel bad for this woman, you know? So, I didn't say that, by the way, but that's what I felt. And, like, he didn't know what to say. There was a tzaddik there, Rav Abish, whoever knows him, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch HaZor, and he said, I also want a bracha, you know, I also want a bracha. But the point is like this. The point is the next day the shiur went up online and someone said, Rabbi Travis, it looks like you need a new computer. You know, let me buy you a new computer. And it was much better, much faster, you know, and everything worked out. Brooks, and it was all good. Right? But the best good that comes out of all of this is you don't get upset. You know, people spend so much energy in their life getting upset, whether it be with their wife or their kids or God or whatever it might be, right? A person doesn't need to get upset. I heard an incredible story during the Holocaust. There was a guy whose best friend stole 8 passports. He had passports, kids and his wife. He stole all of them. They all died. Yeah? And he met this guy after the Holocaust. He didn't say one word. He was quiet, right? Okay? And that's the halacha. Right? Hazal tell us, Sinas Chinam, what's Sinas Chinam? Sinas Chinam is like, for no reason, if I just come up to you in the street and like give you a left hook, that doesn't happen. Sinas Chinam is when there's a good reason for it, and I get upset with you. The Gross says that's called Sinas Chinam. You're not supposed to ever get upset with anybody. Yeah, did you know that? You know? Right. Okay, especially your wife and your children. Right. And I was zochet to have a kesher with many, many gedolim. One of them was Rav Gershon Edelstein. when the Meron tragedy happened. So I got a phone call Friday, two hours before Shabbos. It was the middle of COVID, and they said, we want you to come to America to a Gudas Yisrael convention to speak about what happened from the Gudam. I said, but it's 2 hours before Shabbos, and it's COVID, you know? You have to get a COVID test. They were all closed. They said, okay, we're inviting you. You can decide. Anyway, I decided I'm going to go, but everything was closed. So I went, had to go to an Arab town. Right? They stuck this like big needle into me. I was afraid they're going to like go further, but Baruch Hashem, I survived that. And I went, and I said this point, which Reb Gershon Edelstein said. He said, we have to change the status quo. You know, we get upset with people. If someone does something, we get. I just spoke to one of my Talmidim today. I'm going to see him tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to see him today in California. What time is it now? It's like 2 o'clock. I'm going to see him at 6 o'clock today, right? But today is tomorrow. But it's yesterday, so I'm getting confused exactly. Chakras, you do daven, you don't. Okay. It's a whole big machlokas. I'm going to see this guy at 6 o'clock Tuesday, which is tomorrow. But he started a company. It was worth $10 million. He brought two partners in, and they took the company away from him. Yeah, they had a company vote, they voted him out, and that was gone, the company. So he sued them, and he got $2 million, but he lost $8 million. And he calls me up, Erev Rosh Hashanah, he asked me, what is my Kabbalah supposed to be for Tavshin Pei Gimel? I said, very simple. What is it? Anybody know?
Acceptance.
Yeah? And what do you do? Mogul them, right. He says, what? Are you crazy? I said, yeah, you're right, I'm crazy. But that's what you have to do. You have to be mogul them. So for months and months, finally called me up 3 months ago. He said, you know what? It's so pushed. You have to mogul them, right? You think you're going to get more because they stole the money, that's why he lost the money. It had absolutely nothing to do with them, right? Of course, they're going to get punished. But the Vilna Gaon says, you can look at Mishlei, it's in Yud Aleph, Yud Ches, in Mishlei. He says, nothing, everything that happens is always Gzeir Shemayim. You don't have to, if it wasn't from these guys, so you know, you're walking, you know, you're on vacation and you come home and your house is crushed because something happened. Yeah, somehow you're gonna lose money. So there's no point at all ever getting upset with anybody. It's very easy to say it, it's a lot harder to do it, but that's why I came here today to tell you about that and to speak about that. How are we holding on time? What time is it? Where are we holding?
1:33.
How many minutes do we have left?
Another 10 minutes.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm going to wind down then. So this is really the concept, right? And again, like you said, it's an opportunity for growth, and it's a life-changing experience. It's a lach and shulchan aruch, and you have to do it. Now, it's an interesting halacha. First of all, usually when we make a bracha, we have a halacha. Which shame do we use? Which shame do we use in brachas? You came up, Geir Elokeinu. Suddenly we come up with this new name, Rachmana. You know, Rachmana, this is God's name. Why are we using the name Rachmana? Right, Rachmana. So someone said, yeah, well, Rachmana Litzlan, it's also true. But I think also maybe you could say the same answer for that, right? When we come into a situation which looks bad, for example, let's say a person, Chas V'Shalom, gets run over by a car and pronounced dead, right? I couldn't really say it because I was dead, at least that's what they said, or at least unconscious, right? But let's say a person wasn't unconscious, or wasn't dead, you're supposed to say, now here you are lying on the ground, you have a lot of blood and stuff like that, and broken bones, and you're supposed to say, Kol ma'adavid rachmana l'tovavid. So the word rachman is very notable because merciful, right? Okay, so look, if I'm run over by a car, that doesn't seem like so much mercy. Or many things, to get sick, to lose money. Yeah, a person loses $100 million, right? Stock market crash, he loses money. That's rachmanis? Yeah. Yes, we know. Because Kol ma'adavid rachmana l'tovavid. Hashem is infinitely smart and infinitely kind, so it must be rachmanis. You know, the famous rabbi, the Beis Halevi, was the father of Rav Chaim Brisker and then the grandfather of the Brisker Rav. He was a very wealthy person. He lost all, he had a forest, it all burned down. And he went into Rabbanis, and it turned out to be a good move for the Jewish people. Right? We know that anything happens is Rachmanis. But what's the problem? The problem is we're trapped in time. You only see now. You see right now. Right now, right? When that happened, my best friend was there. And he got to yeshiva that morning. They asked him, like, what? He asked, what happened? He said, oh, you didn't hear? Travis is dead. So I would say, if you go up to him at that moment and say, is this good or bad? Say, of course, that's terrible. Yeah? It's terrible. That's really bad. Yeah? Oh, by the way, when I was younger, I was training for the Olympics. I was 15. I was training for the 400 meter hurdles. Right? And most of my teammates were a different color, different nationality from Africa, if you know that place. So they used to tell me, they said, Travis, if you wasn't white, we'd say it was black. That's a very high praise for somebody white. He said, you're white on the outside, but black on the inside. Like, that was really... They didn't know about the hat. I wasn't wearing a hat at the time. I wasn't religious. But they taught me something really, really important that helps me with this year. Right? When something is really good, you know what they say when something's really good? You know what they say? They say, that's bad, man. That's bad. That means it's good. So they told me, it looks bad, but it's really good. You know, that was really some of us are. Or my daughter's married to someone British. They say, that's wicked. Wicked. You know, wicked. If it's wicked, it means it's really good. Yeah. And I heard now, when I grew up on The Wizard of Oz, and now they made the Wicked Witch, she's like the hero. Okay, what can we do? The world's going crazy. But the point is things are not like they meet the eye. We're seeing just right now, we're seeing a small fragment of the story. And that's why the look is by the Megillah. You have to hear the whole Megillah. You miss one word, one pasuk, one thing, it's finished, it's all over. Because you didn't get the full story. You have to hear the full story. And always, by the way, the Chasam Sofer says, Vayera Vayboker, it always starts bad. It always. We see that in life. Things always start out hard, and then the light eventually comes. So that's the idea here, right? And the more you incorporate this halach into your life, koma dev rachman on the top of it, the more happy you're going to be, and the more you'll be content with what happened, and you'll see it, right? The more you do this, the more Hashem is megalit to you, the Torah. So in the beginning, it takes a long time, but eventually, right away, you see, or we don't know, Hashem's cheshbon is right away. Okay, so I'm going to finish off now. I've been giving shiur on this for 7 years, right? Because the more you talk about it, the more it makes an impact on yourself and others. A few years ago, I said, you know what, it'd be good to write a book about this. So I said, what a great idea. Shabbos afternoon, after a big plate of cholent and you're really tired, read a nice book about suffering, anguish, pain, getting run over by a car, blood, you know, broken bones, death. Sounds really enticing, no? So, yeah, well, you know, so I decided like this. We'll write a novel, yeah, and we'll have the main character like get smashed to pieces, you know, just in a gentle way, just have a lot of difficulties, and he'll show us how to incorporate all these things that Chazal did, yeah, and he'll teach us how that. And that's Yedidya, right? Yedidya means Hashem's friend, Yedidkah, friend of God. And Baruch Hashem, we got already like 2,500 letters about this. Over 2,000 letters, right? And I brought 110 copies to Australia last week, and these are the last copies I have. Baruch Hashem, I won't have to drag them to California. But assuming people buy them, you know, like so that if you buy it, first of all, you're getting a great book, right? It's really interesting, and I'm sure your wife will like it, and you. And then also, it makes my luggage hell lighter, so it's also chesed, right? And also, it's just an entertaining book, you know, it's really interesting. My writer, who was from Sydney, by the way, so she's really, really talented. So that's the idea. So in this case, 2 minutes, we said, most important halacha in Shulchan Aruch, koma de rachmana tov avid, nothing bad ever happens. We say rachmana because it's really rachmanis. It's really Hashem's it's really rachamim from Hashem, even though we see it. We're in a confrontation. We see it as really bad, but it's really good. We have to explain that it's going, at least going, l'tov avid, it's going towards good. And if you say that halacha constantly, you'll eventually see the good. It'll help you stop suffering, except you accept it. We spoke about Leah Manish, she was the first one to thank Hashem, because she thanked Hashem for the bad. She was trapped in time, right? It looks bad in the beginning. We said about Yair Boker, eventually becomes good. And all of these things, and hundreds more, right? Which if you get this once a week, you get a 3-minute clip. We work on 20 hours each one, in order to be really high quality. And just keep growing in this area. And it's such a different outlook towards life. You can have a life where you just don't suffer. So crazy. So I have these copies here, and we have the machine. I run a kolo to train poskim. Yeah, that's my goal. And Baruch Hashem, we have already 3 talmidim here in Melbourne: Kinderman, Frank, and Pakinowski, and also Gabi Klein and Mordechai Landau. These young men who are engaging now in our program. We really want to train Rabbanim who know what Pesach Halach is. It's a different shiur. I'm not going to talk about it now. But whoever is willing to, whoever wants a copy of this book, I'll sign a few. And you could contribute to the kol. And you could tax deductible. Yeah, go ahead. Any questions?
No, I want a book.
Oh, you want a book? Okay, fine.
Actually, I have a question.
Yeah. First, tell me your name. So as
Michael.
Michael?
Michael,
what's the last name? What?
El
Aluf. El Aluf. Okay, I'm listening.
I'm not connected to Rabbi Manuel
Aluf. Aluf. Just tell me your wife's name. Your wife's name. Okay, I'm listening.
Just reading a bit about the Megillah prior to the Haggadah prior to Pesach. I understand your approach and I do appreciate it. But if you see what the Haggadah tells you what to do with your son, the Rasha, this is not exactly what they say.
Right. Well, look, that's Chinuch. That's Chinuch. We have free choice. He's not. The Rasha is obviously not going on that path. Now, right. By the way, there is free choice. He chose to be a Rasha. Right? How does that work together? That's the Rambam's famous kasha. Has free choice work with Hashem? Okay, that's a good question. The Rabbi says you should never ask the question because we can't resolve it. But this halacha only applies to yourself. Things that happen to you, your children should daven, get me, and other people also. You know, if someone falls, gets run over by a car, you say, "No, your child said it's good. Don't worry about it. You know, it'll be right." You don't say that. You empathize with them, right? You have a child who's a Rasha, not you, Chas v'Shalom, but somebody. You daven, you send him to Orsam over here. He'll tell you this is a master in Kiryat Aruvin. Yeah, and he'll make him from, you know, just by talking to him. I got to speak there Thursday night. It was really a wonderful experience. They do wonderful things, but it's a good question, but we have to resolve it anyway. So whoever else would like a copy, I'll sign it.
Yeah, awesome.
And yeah, okay. Thank you. I'm gonna put the card in. Thank you very much. Here you go.